You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show at some point in the future, maybe as a business podcast off of Apple iTunes or one of the other podcasting services that we use, thank you for making the time to be our guest today. We would also encourage you to consider listening live to this program during our broadcast times right here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better business decisions. If you are listening live today and you would consider being a part of the conversation during the show, then I would encourage you to find the community chat room section on octalkradio.net's website. Log in. This will allow you to post your thoughts, comments, observations. Paul, our producer, is watching them in addition to producing the show. He will bring them to my attention and possibly I'll be able to work them in with my featured guest today. My featured guest today is Jackie Bird. Jackie is president of Epic International, and I've asked her to be on the show today to share some of the aspects of her philanthropic business model that she and her husband Jeff have created for the business Epic International. And we're going to get into the background, the inspiration, and really how they've set this business up and the work that they're doing. Let's allow Jackie to tell her story. So why don't we welcome Jackie Bird to Critical Mass, the radio show. Jackie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today.
I'm excited to have you on the program. Why don't we begin the interview very simply, Jackie, by asking you to tell our audience about your professional experience. Sometimes we say on the program, your path to Epic International, but just kind of your business background prior to you guys starting your current business.
Absolutely. I worked in corporate America for about 11 years, the first nine basically right out of high school. I went to work for Gibson, Dun & Crutcher, and I worked through college while I went to college while working at Gibson, Dun, and they were fabulous about working around my school schedule. And when I graduated, I stayed within the company and was promoted to working on their summer program and their attorney review process worldwide. And they have, I must say, some of the most talented people working in that organization. And I personally got to work with just a great team. But that team was based in LA, and I moved to Orange County. And I made it work for a couple years of commuting, and then realized I needed to make a change and took a position with an insurance firm as a director of marketing. And I was there for an additional 2 years.
So you have experience in professional training with large, Gibson Dunn, that's a large organization. So you have marketing experience that was with a set of large firms before you've taken this entrepreneurial leap. Is that what you're saying, Jackie?
Absolutely, and it's been invaluable as I've been navigating the entrepreneurial ocean front as I've been with my new venture, Epic International.
So let's talk about, let's start our conversation about Epic International by talking about the inspiration for you and your husband starting the firm. I want to preface it simply by saying I consider it a privilege to have the opportunity here on Critical Mass, the radio show, to bring entrepreneurs on the program who not only are building and creating an organization of value, but who also have embedded in the heart of their business model this philanthropic and giving social enterprise aspect of the business. And so when I first kind of discovered the work that you and Jeff are doing and Epic International, I was so eager to get you on the radio program. So audience, these are other entrepreneurs who are structuring a business in a way that I think is really powerful. So having said all that now, Jackie, let me step aside and say, talk to us about your inspiration for starting the firm.
Thanks, Rick. The inspiration actually came from a trip to Haiti that my husband and I took in July of 2010. It was about 6 months after their devastating 7.0 earthquake. And we expected to see infrastructure projects. We expected to see relief projects. We expected to see everything but what we actually saw when we arrived in Port-au-Prince. We had seen the news coverage of all of the donations made from corporations and even personal individuals. And we weren't seeing the actual funds being used on the ground. In fact, it looked very similar to the footage not long after the earthquake had taken place. But we were still excited to be there and do our part, even on an individual basis. And part of the relief effort that we took part in were food distributions. And there was one in particular that resonated with both my husband and I. We were down in Jacmel, which is in the southern tip of Haiti. And we were doing a food distribution to a remote mountainside village just outside of Jacmel. And to get there, you need to cross over the Jacmel River. And that was a real key moment for me. As you cross over it, you drive through it. You can see people who are lucky enough to have cars washing their cars in that river. They were washing their livestock in that river. They were washing their children in that same river, and they were also getting their drinking water from that same river. We continued on to a point where you have to get out and hike to get to this particular village. And it's about a mile and a half hike, and all of us are carrying food. And about halfway there, we took a break, and I overheard our translator and our guide talking, and they were pointing to this lady in front of a makeshift shack, and I was curious what they were saying, so I asked the translator. And as I'm taking in the scene, I see what could barely be called a home. A mom and several kids and a couple of goats, all in this field with about 2 to 3 inches of water. And they were talking about how these particular people cannot make it down to the river to get their drinking water. They actually have to drink the water that we were standing in. And that dysentery and salmonella were just a part of their everyday life. And I couldn't believe it. I could not imagine giving that water to my dog, let alone my children. It was devastating. It was a devastating moment for me. And the people in that village were so encouraging and had so much life and vibrancy, regardless of their conditions. It resonated on to the core level, to say the least. And when both my husband and I got home, we started researching clean water and found out that about every 19 seconds, a child dies from a waterborne disease, that over 50% of schools across the world don't have clean drinking water for their students. 1 out of 8 people do not have access to clean drinking water. And we knew that we wanted to do something. We wanted to continue to help with the relief effort while we're still here in the United States. And that was where we came up with the concept for Epic International. We actually had the philanthropic component before we had any idea exactly how we were going to pull that together with the product.
I totally connect to your story, as does my producer, and I'm sure many in the audience that are listening get a fundamental appreciation for things that are taken for granted by many people around the world, and certainly us, many of us here in Orange County, California. But just the basic idea of having clean water to drink is, I mean, not even in your consciousness. You just, it's almost readily available anywhere you go in the county. And I understand how fundamental clean drinking water is to all the rest of the efforts that in Haiti in particular, that the government and outside agencies are trying to do to rebuild the country. But it's sort of like almost a place to start is with the basic essentials in water being probably primary, number one, for survival. So I think it's fantastic that you're looking at such a fundamental building block for rebuilding Haiti by focusing on water filtration. How did you decide on the business, on Epic International, the timepieces, the business as it's currently structured as the vehicle for which the philanthropic effort would be enabled?
It was actually an interesting process. We had planned to launch in February of 2011, and it was September of 2010, and we hadn't quite decided on the final product. We did some research, and we first wanted to look at what demographic we wanted to appeal to. The younger generation definitely has a strong philanthropic force, so we decided that we wanted to focus on ages around 14 to 35. Then we looked at different products, and we wanted to make sure we found something at a price point, especially in the current economy that we're dealing with, that they could afford, that it could be available to the everyday average person to change a life with our product. And so we ended up deciding on watches that appeal to that demographic. They're bright colors, have interchangeable bands, and they're only $50. And with that purchase, they're able to provide someone with clean drinking water for a year. Now, all that being said, we started around October hearing about the cholera outbreak and started getting reports about how they were dealing with it. And what we were learning was that they were making makeshift cholera clinics across the country, and adjacent to them, they were making makeshift morgues. And then in front of these two structures, they would line up cots in some locations, such as tent cities. They would line up thousands of cots. And if you know anything about cholera, it's something that would be easily curable here in the United States. It just takes an IV of water, sugar, and salt. But they don't have access to that. So what they would do is, with these cots, they would cut holes out of the cot, put a bucket underneath, because unfortunately, please excuse this, but diarrhea is how they die. They basically can die within 3 to 5 hours. They were laying these people on the cots, and whatever would come out and into the bucket, they would try to replenish through whatever water source that they had available to them. So in some cases, it was that same drinking water they were getting from the rivers that they were trying to save these people with, which, of course, led to thousands and thousands of Haitians dying. And at that point, my husband and I basically started working around the clock. Sometimes we wouldn't even sleep. We would just go to work the next day. We were both working full-time at that point. And we were able to get filters on the ground by November. And we were actually able to do a water filter distribution in that very remote mountainside village that was the inspiration for Epic International, which to me made all the difference in the world to know that those people that we met, those children that we held, were protected.
Listening to your story and connecting to it, it causes me to pause a little bit before I kind of lead to the next question. I apologize. I should be able to distance myself a bit from it, but I can connect to it in a very real way. It sounds like your selection of timepieces and your target demographic were sort of an outgrowth of your marketing training and education. I mean, it sounds like when you went through that was a classic sort of market research project that you did in selecting these timepieces as your initial product offering.
Absolutely. It was key. We truly want to provide people with a platform to change lives. And we wanted to enable everyday people like ourselves who, you know, may not be able to give hundreds or thousands of dollars, but they can buy that one watch and then therefore directly affect somebody for $50. They can change their life for an entire year. And we really wanted to bring that platform to our generation, to people our age, to the youth, because we know that that's where it starts. We really want to breed philanthropy in the younger generation and to encourage that.
Jackie, we're going to come back. I've got a bunch of other questions. I hope we can get to all of it in the time in the show today. If not, we're going to have you back at some future point, just because I'm fascinated and privileged really to have you on the program. When we come back, we're going to change directions just for a moment, and I'm going to ask Jackie to share with us the guiding principle that she's using with Jeff to build and grow Epic International. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Jackie Bird is our guest today. We're talking about her firm, Epic International. Before the break, Jackie, we said we were going to ask you to share your guiding principle. Would you be so kind?
It's really about personal responsibility and accountability for us. We take it seriously that we are personally responsible to give back. And we believe in accountability, and therefore we always take video footage and pictures of our distributions so that we can show those people who have put their faith and trust in us where exactly these resources have gone.
One of the things that I guess I found interesting is, and just we'll spend a minute on the technology of the water filtration systems that provide clean water for a person for a year. Can you share with our audience what exactly it is that you're providing the people in Haiti with?
Absolutely. They are ceramic dome filters, and we chose these for two reasons. Size, they're very small. We can get them in country by taking them in just duffel bags. And then also because they don't require electricity. They're gravity fed. So these ceramic filters, they have what's called a sock on them, and inside of them they have media, charcoal, and various other filtration media. And when we get them in country, we then purchase buckets, and the ceramic dome filter goes in the top bucket along with the dirty, polluted water, and then we attach it to a bottom bucket, and the water filters through the top bucket and the ceramic dome filter to the bottom bucket. And by the time it gets filtered through, it's gotten rid of 100% of salmonella, cholera, dysentery, most of the main diseases that affect the people of Haiti, as well as color, odor, taste. And you can take these filtration systems to the most remote places, and these people will be able to use them without any kind of other resource other than the water itself. And that's the great thing about Haiti is they have an abundance of water. They've got rivers. It rains all of the time. They just don't have access to clean water. So this particular filter solves that problem.
I know on your website you have two beakers, and one is the water maybe out of a river or a stream, and another one beaker right beside it is a water that's gone through a filtration system. And it was such a graphic image to look at those two and see the difference that your filtration system makes in the lives of those people by virtue of what they're able to drink. It's just remarkable.
Thank you. We're really glad to have a great organization that we partner with that makes these filters and for them to be accessible to us.
Let's talk about a challenge that you're facing. Can you share with our audience a current challenge facing Epic International and the steps that you're taking to mitigate that challenge?
Absolutely. We have a great deal of supporters, and most of them are people who have been to Haiti, who have read about us in news media or on blogs. And although we've had some success getting into retail, we found it harder to get into the larger retail stores because they don't want to take a risk on an unbranded company and something that they're not familiar with. So we have found that a bit of a challenge, but that being said, we are going to be enlisting independent representatives that deal with retailers all the time and let them be the liaison between us, and so that we can focus on what we do best and they can focus on what they do best.
Yeah, that's a high bar, high hurdle to the retail distribution vehicle because of just the amount of energy that it requires, and bringing on professionals who can help you, you know, sounds like a wise choice. I'm wondering, in that area, are there other retailers who have a mission-based, you know, I think of you as a mission-based organization. You're not it's not that you're not a nonprofit necessarily, but you, at the heart of your business is this mission, is this why that we're in business. Are there any retailers that are more sensitive to that type of a company than others that might be willing to open their doors to you in an easier way to acquire them as distribution?
You know, that's a great point, and it's something that we've definitely researched. We found it really just being on an individual basis. Like, for instance, we are currently at Surf and Sea on the North Shore in Hawaii, which is a key place to be. It's where Pipeline is surfed every year, and it's a place that really resonates with the surf culture. How we got in that store is really the buyer had a heart for missions and relief effort, and for that reason, they're willing to take a risk on our product, and it's been doing really well in their store. But from what we found is it really comes down to the individual decision maker within that company, and it's usually the specific watch buyer for that company, and it either lives or dies with that person.
Mm-hmm. And then that brings you back to the need to have somebody who has a business relationship with those many different buyers so that you can become more efficient. I can fully appreciate that. Speaking of mission-based, I guess I'm curious, and I'm sure many in our audience are as well, with this at the heart of your business, and you literally created this business around that goal of supplying clean water, can you share with us from your direct experience, how does this affect the decisions that you're making and the plans for building Epic International, knowing at the core is this mission-based premise for the business? How does that affect you as an entrepreneur?
You know, we really approach our company as a platform for change. And as such, we encourage both individuals and organizations to become a part of what we call our Epic movement. We actually have people and groups across the country using our company as a platform to change lives. There's one couple in particular that they are putting on a ride for water, and it starts in Louisiana, in New Orleans, and goes down to Baton Rouge. And they basically, their whole premise is 120 miles to save 120 lives. And in order to be a sponsor of this particular bike riding marathon, you have to buy watches. And we're seeing efforts like that throughout the country. And it's a different approach because people are individually, personally invested, and that is an organic movement that is unlike that of a normal corporation, and it's something that we want to foster, we want to embrace, and something that we love and is encouraging to us on a personal level.
Do you have a sense, or do the professionals who are helping rebuild Haiti have an estimate on at what point the urgent and immense need for fresh water will have been corrected by just the infrastructure projects, et cetera, that are going on in the country? How long do you guys predict that there will be this level of need in the country? Do you know?
No, Rekha, that is a question that I don't think really can be answered. I believe it's possible, but there currently is pretty much no infrastructure within that country. There's no running water. There's, you know, people get clean water delivered to their homes. It's definitely possible. And I think as the attention has really helped, a lot of people think that it's already solved. You know, a lot of people I talk to when we say we're doing water filter distributions to Haiti, they ask why. You know, all this money was donated. Isn't it fixed yet? Isn't it about to be fixed? When the unfortunate truth is, it's not. And they have a new government in place now, and I have a lot of hope in that government, and I hope that there is an end in sight. But at this point in time, we are just focused on an individual, one-on-one, every individual counts basis, because I don't know and I don't foresee any time in the near future there being the infrastructure that would enable the country to have clean water on a large basis.
You exactly answered the question that I didn't ask, but that was real. It is, you know, I don't know if it's the sitcom mentality in the United States or the fact that time heals all wounds, and at least our memory of things, that, you know, the earthquake has happened so long ago that people think maybe like Katrina or other things that should be all solved by now, when in fact, if you even were to tour the, you know, that area of the U.S., you would see that there's still much to be done, and many people are still displaced, and that's here in the United States. So it's not for a lack of people trying, but one of the things that you said to me that I have never forgotten, and I mentioned briefly earlier in this interview, but I think it's worth revisiting, which is the lack of clean water creates other issues that prevent the country from rebuilding itself, because they have a sick population, and it actually elongates, if not retards, their ability to improve the country, because they can't even get the most basic of needs to the satisfy the most basic needs that the people have. But your product is doing that, which is very powerful in my mind, very powerful. Jackie, we're going to take our second sponsorship break. When we come back, I'm going to ask if you would be so kind as to share with our audience a past experience where you learned a valuable business lesson, but it came from a difficult or challenging experience. So, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Jackie Bird of Epic International will answer that question, and we'll have a discussion about that and other things on the other side of this break. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Our guest today is Jackie Bird, Epic International. Jackie, would you share with us a past experience, please?
Absolutely. I had mentioned that we had planned to launch Epic in February of 2011, but moved it up to November of 2010 because of the cholera outbreak. This complicated a lot of different things, one of which was our manufacturing process. We decided to make the call to not insist on samples after modifications were made to our initial prototype. And we had pre-sold dozens of watches online right before Christmas, expecting that our product would be perfect upon receipt. And needless to say, it wasn't. And we were really lucky in that our customers are some of the nicest people in the world. And even though some of them had plan to go to holiday parties weeks before Christmas and expected to have these watches in hand for these events, we weren't able to meet our obligations. And I truly hadn't really been in a position where I had failed so dramatically. And for something that I cared so much about, it only made it hurt so much more. We were able to get the timepieces to everyone before Christmas, and we offered a free timepiece to everyone who had experienced the delay. But that being said, we really learned the lesson that when you're dealing with a manufacturing process and you are dealing with customers, you need to make sure that you give yourself a lot of lead time and always insist on final samples before going forward.
I love to ask that question because invariably the answers end up being a foundational lesson that the guest has learned, and it's like, we're not going to make that mistake again, or we're not going to have that issue again. And it's clear with what you just said, for your experience, that's the case. And what I'm hoping is by asking that question and getting these great answers from guests like you, others in the audience will factor in your experience in their business and learn the lessons vicariously by virtue of your experience. So thanks for sharing that, Jackie.
You're very welcome.
I've been notified that there's a radio that on one of the newer shows here on octalkradio.net, Fahrenheit 213, they actually had interviewed recently a water engineer who had designed emergency water systems that go on trailers, etc., to help with water filtration. And so my producer has suggested if at all in the future that's of an interest to you, in addition to the filtration systems that you're currently providing, he would be happy to connect you with that guest so that you could explore that as well.
I would love that. Thanks so much for thinking of us.
Well, I think, and we're large proponents here on Critical Mass, the radio show, as is octalkradio.net, of this concept of a community. And that's another reason why I'm so excited about having you as our guest, because I really see what you're doing attracting a community of like-minded people who see the value of doing business with your firm, Epic International, for the good work that you're doing. I know when, and I guess I'd like you to talk a bit about when someone purchases a watch or watches from you, what is that experience intended to be when the watch arrives at that customer's house or business? When they open the package, what are you looking for, Jackie, and what's that experience intended to be for them?
I am so glad you asked that question, Rick. When people look at our timepieces, we want them to, every time they check the time, for them to realize that they are providing someone with clean water in a developing country. Every time that they look at that watch, they don't see the watch as much as they see what that watch stands for. And especially in places like Orange County, where a lot of the time what you wear on your wrist is a statement piece about your economic placement in the world. And instead of it being that, instead of it being about how wealthy you are, our watches stand for what kind of character you have and how much compassion you have.
I think that is fantastic, because that was such an inspired decision then to pick a wristwatch as the first product offering and accessories, right? Because it's not just the watch itself. What else is available from Epic International?
We have interchangeable bands, so you can purchase one watch and turn it into 15, 20 watches if you wanted to, which it makes it versatile and for the younger generation makes it super fun.
And it's an opportunity to introduce your business model to other people by virtue of maybe people noticing the watch on the person who bought it, right? I'm sure there's got to be that kind of enabling power of your business model as well.
We hear that so often. Our watches get attention. They're bold colors. Their face, the watch face, is nothing like you've really ever seen before. And I can't tell you how many times I've been stopped and asked about my watch, and how many stories I've heard from our customers about how they were able to use the watch to educate someone about clean water. It's a beautiful thing to get stories back like that.
I can only imagine the unmet need, not only in Haiti, where you were focused today, but earlier on in the interview, you gave us some statistics about the number of people that don't have clean drinking water around the world. It is unlimited demand, I'm sure, for kind of help that you're giving to the people in Haiti in other countries and parts of the world as well.
Absolutely. I mean, almost a billion people, Rick, almost a billion people. I can't even, it's just a number in my head because I can't put that, I can't put a billion faces in my mind. And that's what it comes down to. It's a billion individuals that don't have access to clean water. That's a real number.
I'm not trying to ask you an unfair question. I'm trying to ask a question to learn. What happens after the year? You know, you say by buying the watch, you give a person, one person, clean water for a year. What happens after that year, Jackie?
We actually track where we do our distributions, and if the need is still there, and of course in Haiti it will be, we go back after a year. We actually attach onto the buckets instructions in Creole for Haiti. We also sent some to Japan after the tsunami, but obviously we won't be going back there in a year unless, you know, there is a need, but we don't foresee that. But for instance, in Haiti, we have, in addition to the instructions, we have a date on there. So the people know, and really the water filters actually will last up to a year and a half, but we say a year because we don't know the type of usage that they're, and it's really based on usage. And so we want to always err on the side of caution. And after a year, we go back to the same community, and what we ask people to do, or will be, because we haven't actually been around for a year yet, and but what we will be asking people to do is to bring their buckets back, and we'll be giving them a new dome filter.
That's a perfect answer because it's an ongoing commitment that your firm is making, your company is making to the people that you're helping, and I think that's great. We're going to take one more break. It's our final break here on Critical Mass, the radio show. When we come back, we're going to talk about looking forward. I'm going to ask Jackie to share with us what are the opportunities for growth facing Epic International, how she and Jeff see the company moving and growing in the future, clearly with a mission-based philanthropic business, which we've just talked about, with a billion people in need of the kind of products that Epic International is able to deliver to Haiti. There's the tremendous amount of demand, and now you have to build a business that can satisfy as much of that as possible. So we're gonna take a short break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask Jackie to talk to us about how they plan to grow the business so that they continue to help and support people around the world who are looking for clean water to drink. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gaffella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Jackie, talk to us about the future and growth.
There's so many opportunities for growth with our company, and we have several different focuses. We are currently doing events on many different college campuses throughout Southern California, educating college students about the need for clean water, and also branding our company throughout the college community. We also try to get a lot of press coverage and get our name out there in a certain community, and then that helps us to get into retail stores better. And then we also plan to do, we are actually in the process of getting our 501c3 status, and we want to leverage that to have corporations, businesses do missions when we have people who participate in the EPIC movement do events. So those are just a few of the different opportunities that we have before us that we are exploring.
Are you considering other products?
Eventually, we probably will have different, we definitely will be having different watch lines come out. We'll have smaller things like T-shirts and items like that. But at this point, we're really remaining focused on watches.
So can you share with us, from your perspective, the impact that your firm has had on Haiti so far? I know your firm is new. I know that you guys are, you know, still delivering your services, but help our audience understand how much help you've provided to the people of Haiti so far.
Well, we've been able to provide clean water for hundreds of people in Haiti already. Like I said, we haven't been around for even a year yet. We have the largest distribution yet planned for January of 2012, where we'll be providing almost 1,000 people with clean water. Our focus on that distribution is going to be northwestern Haiti. It's one of the most impoverished regions of Haiti. And due to the extreme conditions there, they have a large population of special needs children. And we are partnering with the Miriam Center, who have they have two special needs orphanages, and they also have a program that helps most of the special needs children and their families within the northwestern zone of Haiti. And they've asked us to come and help them provide clean water to these people because they've lost 25 of their special needs children in the last 2 years alone. So this has been... needless to say, my guiding passion and inspiration for everything that I do right now. And Jeff and I will both be taking part in this distribution. And I can't think of a greater use of my time, pun intended.
Until I got to know you and understand your business, and you've educated me about what you see as the needs in Haiti, you know, I even think about people, children, young adults, adults with special needs, and how they're coping with this situation. It's hard enough to imagine just the population in general, but specific people with higher requirements of care, that's even more daunting. So for you and Jeff to target that region as your next area of giving is admirable, because I could see how much more dire maybe that situation is. And maybe, and I don't know this, I'm just, maybe they even fall further through the safety net of a country who had a weak safety net to begin with, and then when that's even compromised, you know, who's left to care for them, really?
Absolutely. I actually have recently been educated myself about the problem, and what I learned was that a lot of the special needs children are starved to death or abandoned, so they don't make it. And the ones that do make it, they're actually hidden away by the families who keep them, because they're seen as a detriment on a society that are they're in competition for resources. And so what I love about this particular organization is they're trying to make the invisible visible. And we're hoping by doing this water filter distribution, we're not only helping those people who really truly do fall through the cracks in their society, but we're trying to change the way the community sees these people. By them having water filtration systems in their own personal home, they're going to be able to provide that water as well to the community, and therefore be an asset. And we're really, really hoping that that's going to affect a change starting in northwestern Haiti that will really change the way that they're perceived, the way that they're treated, and the opportunities that are given to them.
You know, such a simple solution to an urgent need that can be so dramatic and impactful. I love your watches. I love the fun colors that you have, the styling of the product. If someone would like to, I know that you have videos on your website as well, which help kind of explain, and you know, people love to see the videos and understand kind of firsthand, vicariously, if you will. So If someone would like to learn more about Epic International, tell us how they find you online. What's your website?
It's epictimepieces.com. And that's EPICTIMEPIECES.com. And then we're also on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/Epic Timepieces.
I wholeheartedly endorse what you're doing and hope that the people that are listening either today live to Critical Mass, the radio show, or as a podcast in the future, maybe an Apple iTunes business podcast, or however people are finding our show these days, take a moment to find Epic Timepieces, look at your products. You can never have too many watches, ladies and gentlemen. It's always good to have another one. And this, I would advocate, this could replace many of them for a long time because it's a story that's worth telling. Is there anything else about you, your firm, what you're doing that I haven't thought to ask you today that you would like to share with our audience, Jackie?
One thing we'd like people to consider is we're about to go into the holiday season, and I highly encourage you to give the gift that gives back. By giving an Epic watch, you know, a lot of charities at this point and nonprofits are asking you to give up your birthday and give up a holiday and donate that money, and that's an admirable way to do it. But this is an alternative to that. You can have a super fun watch that really does tell a story and at the same time really be making a difference. And when you give a gift like this, it really makes a statement not only about clean water, but about your own personal character, that you care enough to really do your part and participate.
And I'm aware that when, and that's a great idea. I'm glad that we have you on here in the beginning of the fourth quarter with the impending holidays that are going to be rolling through. But there's always birthdays and other things going on. There's always a need for gifts. I just want to thank you again for being a part of the Critical Mass, the radio show, Jackie, for spending time educating us about your mission-based organization, to commend you and your husband for really reorganizing your professional and personal life around this mission, and encourage you to come back to Critical Mass, the radio show, at some point in the future and give us an update on the fine work that you're doing and other things that are with Epic Timepieces. So thank you for being a friend of the radio program.
Thank you so much, Rick, for providing this platform to really get the word out about our company and about the need for clean water. We really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for the time today. I was so excited to have Jackie on the program when her company was first introduced to me here in Orange County, because I am really intrigued with businesses that have at the heart of their business model a mission-based principle or a philanthropic goal. If you know of any other companies in Orange County, Southern California, or wherever you may be listening to my radio program today, I would strongly encourage you to reach out to me, Rick Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, at Critical Mass, M-A-S-S, for F-O-R, business.com. And I would be happy to speak with their president, founder, CEOs, and see if we can have them on the radio program. I've always known that entrepreneurs were generous people. Many times they gave their time and their money through personal projects that they have that were disconnected from the business. Maybe they would volunteer some of the time and maybe some of the workers would get involved. But this new evolution of a business model that puts at the heart of the business the philanthropic, the philanthropy piece, the good deeds being done that are enabled by virtue of the business model, for me, is taking that generosity to a whole other level and very deserving of recognition and exposure. And so I would also ask those of us that are listening to the program today to consider telling other people about the radio show, have them listen to this interview with Jackie, learn more about Epic Timepieces, and do what you can to support this very worthwhile cause. So if you'd like to learn more about what we do, Critical Mass for Business, check us out online, www.criticalmass4forbusiness.com. And this is your host, Rick Franzi, saying until the next time we have a chance to speak, here's hoping that all your decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.